from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. Furnace is turned off. I hear we're kicking it back on. Weather's okay. Weather's okay lately. It's going to get back a little bit warmer. I feel we're in the sweet spot. Like 75 to 85 degrees is perfect for me.
Perfect.
You know? Miss Congeniality, what's the perfect date? And she says what, April 23rd?
Something like that. Yeah, 23rd, 24th, 26th.
Yeah, you sound like the...
It's so great. I think
you sound
like
the SnowRunner.
It's August 13th. The SnowRunner...
It's great for running.
...is the best F around and find out quote of all time.
It's the best pretentious thing, like, mwah.
You should, where, if you don't know what we're talking about, it was in Portland.
Yes.
And they were, like, near Pioneer Square, and I think it was KGW or Coin or something. They go and they do, like, an interview, and it was like right when it snowed, and of course, all of our roads shut down, and they're like, oh, you're out for a run, that's interesting. And she goes, oh, it's the perfect conditions to run, because you don't get too hot when you're running, and
it's soft, and it's better for your joints.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, well, enjoy your run.
Chelsea,
she turns around, and
Chelsea was her name,
two steps later, whoop. Yeah. Boom.
Just absolutely eat.
It was
right
like
on her arse.
It was like a cartoon character came out and threw a banana peel down the road, and she just went rip.
Yeah.
Bam.
If you would have wrote it for an SNL sketch, it'd be like, okay, come on, guys.
Let's be honest here.
Let's not go there. Ooh, speaking of SNL, do you guys see that they have an SNL movie that's coming out in October?
No.
It's about the 90 minutes leading up to the first episode of Saturday Night Live.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I
just saw a trailer, and the cast is really good.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of finding, you know, their Belushis and Chevy Chase and,
Bill Murray in there.
Yeah. But
it was Gilda Radner.
Radner. Okay. Gilda Radner. I wanted to call her. I was going to mix that up horribly. Gilda Radner. But they did a really good job in Lorne Michaels. Is basically, he's the main character in it, and it's kind of him and how NBC wanted to make him fail because Saturday Night Live was supposed to be counterculture.
Jeez.
And the old school execs wanted him to fall on his face. That backfired. Actually, it didn't backfire. It was a win-win for the NBC executives because either they print money or they stick it to the counterculture. So, spoiler alert.
There you go.
It was successful. The show, it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out. I don't know if I'm ruining that for anybody, but we're like 50-some years later.
I think you're okay there.
I think it's okay.
We're not quite to 50 yet.
Statute of limitations really? No. Expired.
Right. We're in mid-40s.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We got some college football news notes, nuggies for you. Jim Harbaugh won't be going to be the honorary captain for Michigan.
Boo! Coward.
For their opener against Fresno State. We remember last week, Jim Harbaugh was given a 4-year show cause by the NCAA for recruiting violations. And mere days later, Michigan announced our honorary captain for week one against Fresno State will be Jim Harbaugh. Well, here we are on Tuesday morning. Sharon Moore, head coach of Michigan, he said Harbaugh wants to, quote, stay in the foxhole with the Chargers instead of taking a deep, long bow in front of the big house in Michigan. I'm calling BS on that. I'm just going to go ahead and say that private jet that he could take out from L.A. to Ann Arbor and then go do his honorary captain, drink a couple gallons of milk,
and then
watch a football game and come back. I feel like that flight, he would get his film work in. He could even do a meeting in the morning and still fly out for that game and then be back by Sunday.
Didn't Lanning go down to Alabama for Knicks in the draft and then dip back out?
Yeah. Yes.
Like
same day stuff. Yeah. It's not unusual for a head coach to do something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty doable, especially with the resources those guys have.
Yeah. And
although Spanos might be cheap.
No, Michigan's paying for that, and their pockets are deeper than that.
Michigan's pockets are probably deeper than Spanos.
They're going to be able, they'll be just fine with that. And oh, by the way, the game is on August 31st. Week one is September 8th. So it's that Saturday. It's the week. You're 8 days away from your game. You're not going to miss anything. You literally could be back in L.A. by midnight on Sunday and still go through all your prep.
Quite easily.
So, I'm not buying this. I'm thinking that they realized, oh boy.
Maybe we shouldn't flaunt it this hard.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't double barrel them with middle fingers. So they just took one down and they're going single barrel.
Just giving them it's the Myers-Leonard. It's Myers-Leonard Evan Turner. Instead of getting the double barrel, you give the Myers-Leonard with a hand underneath.
Oh, okay. I was like, the Myers-Leonard can be something completely different.
Oh, no. Different,
not okay to do.
It was Denver. Remember, E.T. turned and flipped him and gave him the bird, and then Myers presented the table underneath the bird for him?
Yeah, that's right.
It's an iconic photo.
That's a great...
It's a great photo.
It's a great move.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have Jim Harbaugh August 31st, and I bet Michigan fans are really bummed out about that because that seems like the Big Blue, Big Blue is Kentucky. Go Blue would go nuts over Jim Harbaugh being there on the 31st. Staying in the state of Michigan, you see the name that is raising eyebrows across training camps in college football. Should not be a surprise to folks here. 24/7 Sports did a rundown of the hot news out of training camp reports from around college football. Headlining it is Iowa still not knowing offense, which we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
Cade McNamara going 8 of 24 for 20 yards. I'm going to give him a touchdown. I mean, his touchdown was a pick six, but I'm going to give it to him. He threw a touchdown.
A touchdown did occur off of one of his throws.
He threw a touchdown.
There you go.
It was a pick six, but none to the offense. That headlined the training camp buzz, but the story number two was Michigan State quarterback Aiden Chiles.
Shocking.
Is dominating East Lansing right now.
We talked about this, and this is my whole point of the level of quarterback play that this conference is just not familiar with outside of Ohio State.
Yeah.
And the realization of like, oh, you can do that? Your quarterback can be accurate and multidimensional and not just hand off the ball and occasionally run some play action.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have dynamic quarterback play. Welcome to the West Coast.
They have a quote from a scout that has been at Michigan State practice. I'm assuming it's an NFL scout or Connor Stallions. I don't know.
Could be.
I mean, it's a Big Ten.
He's looking for work.
It the quote is, I like that quarterback a lot. Wow. Senior wide receiver, Montori Foster, said of Childs, dynamic. I can say that in one word. He's a dude, man. He makes plays. Aiden Childs, there was a ton of hype, and I know that this is like sticking nails in a Beaver fan's ears right now. And
Sorry. It does, I mean, that sucks
yeah. because that's the one thing Jonathan Smith was truly turning around at Oregon State before he left was they were getting their guys, right? Yeah. They were getting their guys in who were higher caliber recruits, and it was finally like the foundation that had been laid. You were starting to sprinkle more on top.
You get a Musgrave, a Velling, a Childs, a Martinez. Like, you start looking at those guys. In 2 or 3 years, every one of those guys is going to be in the NFL.
And now, I mean, this sucks. But that's what the buzz was at Oregon State last year. We remember going through training camp, and it was, hey, this freshman is really damn good.
They were trying to find ways to get him on the field.
He is special. And that was with DJ Uiagalelei, who came in and was supposed to be the guy who could bridge that gap. And they're like, this battle's a lot closer than it should be. And we need to really start talking about Aiden Childs. Mm-hmm. Now here he is, year two with Jonathan Smith in the familiarity with that system. And the buzz is growing even more. And Michigan State, your quarterback is going to be able to keep you in some games. They had a ton of defections because of the Mel Tucker fallout and then the coaching change with Jonathan mm-hmm. Smith coming in.
I argue they probably brought in some higher-end talent.
They are not there to compete for a Big Ten championship, but then when you look at it, when you have it, the quarterback.
Not a quarterback, the quarterback. Yes.
All you are going to be competitive.
Yeah. And then, you know, you start finding wide receivers at other universities that, you know, they're fourth or fifth on a depth chart or they're not happy. What's his name? The kid Fleming from Ohio State that transferred out. Like, you start finding those are the kind of guys where you go, I could attach myself to a quarterback who's pretty clearly making a beeline for the NFL. Make me look a lot better.
He's special, man. He is a very special player, and I'm excited to watch Aiden Childs this year in his growth. It still sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks all the way around that it happened to the Beavs. But he is getting the rave reviews, and now people around the country are starting to catch on. Aiden Childs is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Big Ten. All right, back to the NFL a little bit here. There's a fighting policy in New England. And it's a doozy because I'm going to propose a scenario for you that might very well play out in New England. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, Let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New England Patriots have a fighting policy in their practices now.
I like this.
Jerod Mayo is the first-year head coach taking over for Bill Belichick. And fights will happen in training camp. We know this. They happen all the time. We see DK Metcalf try to take a man's head off. The Lions and the Giants were fighting like every 15 minutes at their joint
practices.
Yeah, they
had five fights to the point where the NFL fined each team $200,000.
Well, Jerod Mayo, first-year head coach, has implemented this policy. If you get into a fight at practice and you are a starter, you will be forced to play the entire preseason game. If you are a backup and you get into a fight at practice, you will not play in the preseason game. So there's a punishment for both sides of this, right? For the starters, you don't want to be playing in that game. You have an established position, right? If you're a backup, there's a benefit because you're fighting, scratching, clawing for a job. There's no reason for you to fight at all because you need to get that preseason run. You need all the tape that you can get. So the policy on the surface, it makes sense.
How many preseason fights do you think Jerod Mayo was in?
Well, probably quite a few.
Okay.
Probably. He's a linebacker, probably quite a few.
Seems mildly hypocritical at best.
Well, I got to thinking about this. What if during the stretching lines, you know, you got Jacoby Brissett just walks out and he just throws a haymaker at Drake May?
Guess I'm starting.
And Drake May's not playing at all, right?
I'll take all 30 reps. Thank you.
What if you have a guy who's maybe in jeopardy of losing his starting job to a backup, and he just starts throwing haymakers at him? It's not offense versus defense. It's like corner versus corner. Jerod Mayo may just have Thunderdome that he'd opened up there, where you just have all these fights within your own position groups.
Or the other side of this is if you are the starter and the backup's nipping at your heels, just talking S to him endlessly, like egging him on.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But I mean, like, but you get the backup.
You get the backup, so he just can't play?
So he can't play.
Well, I think if you're a starter, though, you don't even have to egg him on. You just punch him, and according to your coach, you're playing.
Best of both worlds, though. Best of both worlds if you're a starter and you're the backup, you know, inking up on you. He throws the punch. You play your normal one and done.
You get your one series,
third string guy's in there, and you're like, all right.
I just can't wait till this policy, which on the surface seems great, horrifically backfires on my favorite team.
That's good stuff. I like it.
Because you know that there's going to be, when it comes down to like winning or losing your starting job, it's cutthroat, man. That's why they're fighting in these practices. So if you can get a guy to throw a punch at you, all right. You just won that battle. This is going to be great. I really want this to happen now.
I feel like
I just wish it wasn't on my team.
Yeah. I wonder, this is getting like into the nitty gritty. I wonder if this is actually enforceable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, CBA rules wise.
Yeah. I mean, coach's discretion, he could play you.
It's
keep you in the game.
It's interesting. Like, I don't think this reaches the level of there will be lawyers.
Because, well, what is the CBA going to, like, what is the Players Association going to say? Like, how dare you play him? I think that goes kind of against, like, their whole principles.
Well, that I mean the not playing part.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I'm kind of like, I don't know if they like that.
If you're a backup, they're going to be like, well, wasn't good enough to play anyways. He's a backup.
You know, it's
fine. We'll cut him.
It's a very awkward spot.
This is not. I like the direction he was trying to go into. The execution, I think, is a little flawed.
It's like he thought about it. Was like, yeah, that sounds good. I like that. This is good. And then he didn't actually think about the ramifications.
Yep. Well, I'll be damned.
Maybe this is his way of getting Drake May out on the field.
I think it is. I think he just, he wants to have, he, well, I don't know if it's going to get Drake May out on the field. Jacoby Brissett is going to be their starter.
Sure.
Preseason week one, that series that we saw from Drake May, not great.
Not great, Bob.
Not blowing anybody's hair back. But I will give Drake May a little bit of a parachute here in that it was horrible conditions. And
it's weird. Are they going to have many of those in New England?
Yeah. But it was one series, too.
I know. I'm just saying.
I mean, he got one.
Are they going to have horrible conditions and a bad offensive line? Is that changing at all in the next year?
Yeah, the offensive line really wasn't the issue for him, though. Mm. I mean, it wasn't the issue for him. It was much more of everything else.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll just give him. It was pretty rainy and you got one drive. So, whatever. You see that the Dallas Cowboys are the first American sports franchise. Worth $10 billion.
Are they marked as the most valuable franchise in the world now?
I don't think in the world, but in the United States.
It's been between them and Barca.
Yeah. They have their valuation, because of the NFL's new TV deal, has risen $1.32 billion in 1 year, according to Forbes.
Unbelievably.
The NFL is printing money.
Per Sportico, the 32 NFL franchises collectively are worth $190 billion.
Whoa.
$190 billion.
Do you think there will ever be a time when, like, Mark Davis sells because it's, like, it's just prudent to do it? Because he
honestly
just,
I think it's going to be soon. I think
they don't have
selling,
the money.
Him selling, Jeannie Buss selling, like any of the cash poor, Clay Bennett in Oklahoma City with the Thunder, like these cash poor owners are going to go away.
And that to me is,
it's going
to
be
really interesting. You mentioned Jeannie Buss and the Lakers. That, we're getting closer and closer to that, because I think
he has no money compared to the other owners. It's
there's
not even close.
Minority owners of the Lakers
that have insane amounts of money,
and there's unrest now. Aren't the Guggenheims part of that minority ownership group?
There's them, and there's the Chinese Holdings group. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Crazy money, and that's the thing, is like so many of these are going to end up becoming like the NFL has danced around this. So much, like the Commanders ownership group. Remember the whole deal about like where that check came through and
how
it had to be run through the Federal Reserve because the money was coming in internationally. And
and they did not want the
Saudi investment group.
Saudi investment group, like, to be part of it.
And it's like, yeah, but aren't they? You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, how many companies has this money been run through?
Yeah,
before it got there.
Ownership in professional sports is going to be changing because the. The guy with the most sway has always been the richest guy in the room. Like, Paul Allen for years had a lot of pull in NBA owners'
Paul
meetings.
Paul Allen was the biggest swinging in the NBA because of, number one, the money, but number two, the technology influence at Microsoft.
They bowed down to Paul Allen because he was the richest guy in the room for a lot of years.
He's also probably the smartest guy in the room.
But we're seeing that ownership, it's not going to be individual owners any longer.
No, it's investment portfolios.
You can't do it.
No.
And that's the way that we're going to have to change the way that the leagues are being run, because think of what the commissioner's job is, right? Roger Goodell, great example of this. He is a commissioner, and he oversees 32 NFL teams, but he has 32 bosses, is what everybody said. This is going to turn, that 32 bosses isn't even true right now, because the reality is multiple teams have multiple ownership groups.
Very few teams in the NFL are singularly owned. Like Mark Davis, the Raiders are not singularly owned. There's a crap ton of people there. The Panthers are singularly owned
by David Tepper. The Cowboys are, the Hunt family, the Rooney family in Pittsburgh. Yep. But not even like the New York Giants have always been famously owned by two families. Mm-hmm. And so the Tishes and the Maras.
Yep.
And then you have an entire city that owns the Packers.
Yeah. Which is crazy. The rotating board and how that whole thing's work. The whole thing works.
Yeah, you take Green Bay out of it and just kind of, whatever. The commissioner's role is going to change as more and more ownership groups, because you will have multiple big swinging,
you know what, for every team. They're essentially managing a private equity fund. Roger Goodell is essentially managing a 32 like investment arm, $200 billion equity fund. That's what he's doing. That's why he got out of the punishment game. He got out of everything because his job now is managing $200 billion.
And make sure that it keeps going up and it never goes down.
Yes. That is the job of a commissioner now. But you're going to see, like, with the exception of, I can't remember the guy in Mexico, Mexican telecoms guy. He's worth billions of dollars. He pops up in the top five pretty regularly. But with the exception of him, Bezos, Elon, like the guys that have valuations of hundreds and 150 plus billion dollars individually, you're just not going to see that. And I have heard that Bezos is a guy that, whether it's in the NBA or the NFL, is going to get involved at some point in time. He just has too much money not to.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you have that much money, the singular best like investment that you can pull your money into is a sports franchise. Because the valuations on them just... Everybody's like, well, the bubble's coming. I'm like, we've heard that for 20 years.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped.
We'll see.
So.
I think there will be some sort of bubble on television contracts and deals, but the safety of a sports franchise is that it is recession proof, right? I mean, it is it is an industry that it's the escape for people, and so people will continue to gravitate towards sports. That's why you'll always see the valuations keep going up, even if the television deals do plateau a little bit, because of the fact that where's the down? The money from TV may stop coming in as dramatically as it's rising over the last 20 or 30 years, but where is the downturn in it? No, there's always money in the banana stand, and that is going to be what professional sports are. This question, who is second to the Dallas Cowboys on those valuations? There are a few teams at right about that $9 billion mark. They are, the Rams, actually, 7.79, not $9 billion. And then the New York Giants at 7.65 billion, Patriots at 7.31, 49ers 6.86 billion.
The big part of the Rams being that SoFi.
Yeah.
They are the stakeholder in SoFi, and SoFi is not just NFL games.
Operating stadiums, man.
It's all of the events at SoFi. It is a money printing venture.
Okay.
So.
Wow. All right. Well, there's your NFL little nuggies there.
Well, I had one that you put on here for the worst day on the web. I have since seen a story so ridiculous that I can't resist.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Can I just... I'm going to hit you with one word.
Okay.
Porn sub.
Okay. All right. And we're off.
But first, here's a big Canola Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
This story popped up. Shout out the folks at Task and Purpose, a publication that covers the military in general. This comes to us from The Sun, which is in England, and boy...
Oh, I thought it was in outer space.
Yeah, the tabloids, they're running with this one. The headline reads, porn sub.
Oh.
And why? Well, because a submarine captain was fired for making sexual videos while in charge of a nuclear submarine. Nuclear submarine.
Oh, the... Uh-oh. Okay, so not our Navy.
No.
Royal Navy.
British.
Okay.
But yes.
We would never. Does this fall into your cheeky and fun?
You mean
shenanigans that the military has?
Yes. Yeah. Look.
Is that the old Costanza there? Was that wrong? Should I have not done that?
Yeah. So it reads, the captain shared a graphic film with a junior sailor who served aboard the same submarine.
Okay.
I don't know if this was a, what kind of event this was. But it was filmed and photographed on board, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Using, maybe now we don't make fun of the scenes that happen sometimes in the adult film industry because, wow.
What, did somebody get stuck under a couch?
The dryer.
Jeez. Well,
they got stuck in the nuclear reactor. Oh no! Please help me get out.
Boy, there's some torpedoes.
The missiles.
Some torpedoes.
The
there,
missiles
huh?
fell on me.
Wow. Okay. Well, they made the captain and a female.
Unclear.
Oh, sailor.
I don't know what the British Navy does or does not require of their sailors on their submarines. Because at one point in time, our Navy was all male on submarines.
I am reading in this article a little bit further down that the sex footage followed claims that a different submarine captain had put his manhood in the pocket of a female sub-lieutenant on board.
I mean, that also sounds like the way a porn might start.
That's a weird move. Just like, let me put this in your pocket.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard that one.
I mean, that's, I mean, come on, you ever heard of pocket pool?
Well, yeah, but that's in your own pocket.
Yeah, this is, the Royal Navy is kind of sounding like they're, like, they maybe planted this story and been like, join the Navy. You never know what's going to happen.
The Navy, it's really horny.
Yeah, but the submarines, those are wild. Like, you'll go down for, like, 60 days, 90 days.
Talk about going down.
And you will be underwater, and all you have is the people on the boat around you. Is it a boat? Is a submarine a boat?
I'm going to say seafaring vessel.
It's a ship.
Boats float.
Yeah. I mean, submarines, they can float.
They sink. Mm. Designed to sink.
Purposeful sinking is involved here.
Wow.
What about all the seamen in that submarine?
They get emptied out.
Mm.
Had to go one further, didn't you?
Come on.
You know he can't control himself.
No.
I know.
Look at this story. When I saw this story, I was like the little kid at the candy store. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way.
Sounds like this guy is super pervy, though, because he also, like, is known for sending out, like, nudes to people.
Again.
Like when that boat gets cell service, when they breach, he's like, well, gotta send out my pics now.
Gotta make sure, you know, update the Insta.
But that's like one of the things about when you're on a submarine, you go underwater, they don't talk about this. They intentionally...
You run silent.
Disconnect you from the outside world.
They don't have telecommunications.
Because
they don't want to be tracked.
You don't want to be tracked, and you don't want the people on that little murder tube to know if anything bad happens or there's any bad news that can affect them, because no matter what, you're going to be down there for months at a time
under 1,000 feet of water.
Yeah. Where I heard cell reception, not good.
Yeah.
Now, what would really make me mad is if, like, I can't get cell service on, like, the third floor of a building in downtown Portland.
But you could.
But they could 1,000 feet down at the bottom of the ocean.
I mean, all you have to do is, push a little button and put a little floaty with a cable that rises up to the top of the water, and you run an antenna.
Yeah, that's all you have to do for 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
Up, and then up to a satellite in outer space, which, and then beam it all around.
Which we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not
totally okay.
Not hard.
Yeah, no, but I lose cell service every time I go over Sylvan.
Look, man, I read this story, and the first thing that popped in my head was Hunt for Red October. I'm like thinking of, like, Russian captain that has gone rogue, Sean Connery.
Which, by the way, can we?
The Vancouver Ford text line, help me, step captain.
Yes!
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Which I guess is what they have now. They have a step captain. Yeah. It's not our original captain.
Oh, step cousin.
Oh, man.
God.
Good Lord.
Not blood related. But yeah, if you're wondering, the captain got fired. Well, he was put on administrative leave and then thrown out of the Navy.
I have a feeling he'll land on his feet somewhere with his
somewhere in Southern California.
Yeah, like the San Fernando Valley area. I feel that he may.
Guys, let me tell you,
he's got. I've got visa. Ideas.
Well, it won't be up here because Blackberry Castle has been sold.
He's gonna. Yeah, well, I mean, look, the guy's already got the footage.
Yeah,
you know. He's
got the
like,
proof of concept.
We can make a whole series. We went low budget on this one. We went very low budget on this one.
You guys thought a black van with tinted out windows was something?
Oh, man. Well, looks like they're staying busy and getting busy.
Look, I'll tell you this, man. Some people are weird.
Yeah.
Like, there's subsections of every military. Like, in the Navy, you've got your typical seamen. You know, you work on carriers and destroyers, and
yeah,
those are weird. Navy people are weird in general. There's a whole like a whole subsect of weird when you talk about sub people.
Are we going to claim that the Air Force people are not weird?
Oh no. There's different. Like, okay. Look, here's the thing. Like in the Air Force,
everybody just calls every other branch of the military weird, that to me is.
Look, man,
weird.
In the Air Force, you have your fighter pilots.
Yeah.
Then you have your cargo pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your active versus your guard. Like, there's different subsects of weird that you get. And I would argue that submarine weird is maybe the weirdest. Because you have to be a certain kind of person. Like, if you're in the Portland area and you've never walked on the OMSI sub.
It is such tight quarters.
Oh, buddy. It is, and look.
I've only been on the Finding Nemo sub at Disneyland.
To be fair, probably not that much different.
Yeah,
there's just more stuff stuffed into a Navy submarine.
Yeah, electronics, weapons, humans, that stuff.
Well, I mean, stuff was being stuffed in humans.
Can't take you anywhere. I cannot take you.
See, this is what happens, Rust. Anywhere. When I don't break you yesterday, I have to push it a little bit more extra effort today. For those wondering,
I got done with the show yesterday,
and I thought I slid in 3 or 4 different references, and it didn't. Normally, I'll just look over at Rust.
I wasn't paying close enough attention,
and I'll just get a little head shake or a nod, like okay. Mm-hmm. He didn't give me one yesterday, and I was like, oh, okay, fine. I'm going to turn this up.
No.
Maybe it's because I was...
Gotta keep our composure!
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But yeah, this is...
on brand.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's on brand.
There is...
I'm surprised we don't hear more of this.
Fakesub.com?
Yeah. Hey-o.
OnlyFans Navy?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean... It's got to compete with OnlyDans.
I don't know how many people are signing up for OnlyDans.
Whoa, hey, Danny. Man, have you seen these feet? I take good care of them.
We do hear about all those pedicures.
Oh, God, I had one this weekend. It was so good. These dogs are feeling great. Okay. Open my feet up.
Yep.
Nothing?
Oh,
all right.
Man.
So, yeah, this is, if you're wondering, it's a 4 billion pound sub. So it's like an $8 billion sub. And the Yikes. Captain, old Sean Connery here, was out here diddling the crew.
I think his problem was he was sharing it with everybody.
Yeah,
it feels like the issue wasn't that it happened. It was that he shared it with everyone.
Yeah, had he maybe not gone the Ron Burgundy route and said, hey, everybody, come and see how good I look.
Yeah, and maybe if he had, I don't know, learned from the guy who... put his member in the pocket of somebody else and got canned. And he was like, you know what? I got another one for you. This is going to be great.
Probably best if you keep your little soldier in your own pocket.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Look, in defense of the Navy captain here, maybe he wanted to share it because he's just crammed and stuffed in a sub.
Yeah, that'll do it too. That'll make you crazy, man.
That probably leads to the oversharing, right?
That probably does. Like
chronic oversharing.
He don't have much contact with people, so you just push those boundaries. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess,
he can't exactly cast too wide of a net, can he?
Oh, I see what you did there. In the Navy. In the Navy. Water. The
water.
Where you cast a net.
All right. So that's enough of
I see what you did there.
Mm.
Russ coming over with dad jokes.
There you go. I like it. Year number 2 of me getting you to care about the in-season tournament.
Nope.
Danny, Dusty's not a fan.
No.
Year number two of me getting Dusty to care mildly more.
All right, let's see it.
About tournament basketball play.
All right.
You pushed back against the debut last year, and then you watched it, and you said, hey, there was some extra stakes. That was a little bit more fun.
Very, very mildly.
But you did.
Yeah, but that I always lean back on, what is this even going to mean? Because remember the championship game? The Lakers won the championship, and they played the Indiana Pacers?
They did.
Two teams that went deep into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, the Pacers did. Pacers made the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody got hurt.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They still did.
Literally everybody got hurt in the East.
They still did. But it also, I think it served as that in-season tournament did serve as a massive coming out party for Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, it did. And that was the one thing that I said, it was really good for young teams who have budding stars like Indiana and Tyrese Haliburton.
Because it
really did.
It forcibly puts other teams on national TV.
Yeah.
And what I have been told by shareholders in the NBA on the media side of things is that every organization not named the Lakers and the Knicks is sick and tired of 50-plus Lakers and Knicks
100%.
Games on TV. We don't care. We don't want to watch that. Yep. Our consumers don't care. The league cares because those are the franchises that, you know, the big cities, and they draw ratings, blah, blah, blah. But they're not the lifeblood of the league. And ESPN is going to continue to pump out LeBron content because it's the cheapest possible way to stay relevant instead of actually doing stuff. But what this tournament does is it does give the opportunity to highlight smaller market teams, to grow stars. And that's, I think, the biggest thing about this is important. And today, the schedule has been released for every team. The Portland Trailblazers, they are in a bracket this season because you do the draw for your pool play with the Minnesota Timberwolves, Houston Rockets, Sacramento Kings, and LA Clippers.
Hey.
What's interesting about that is you don't have any traditional rivalries really there. So I think you do.
No, but I think that's okay, though.
I think it's good.
That's what you want to have is the rivalry game should stand on their own. I thought a few years ago the NBA leaned into rivalry games.
Rivalry week.
And they missed the mark because I think a lot of teams are like, this is our rival?
I think they did the Blazers and the Jazz. I think that's what they did. When it was like the closest thing the Blazers had for a rival really at that point in time was the Nuggets.
Yeah, Nuggets or the Thunder at that time. And it was like, but even then, right, if like, we're going to squint at that, okay, whatever. But I think that creating rivalries and making rivalries, they can do it and manufacture it in a different way than the in-season tournament because what you want to do is showcase young talent in the in-season tournament. I do believe that is so beneficial for the NBA. I think that is, if you're looking at the reason why the the in-season tournament should exist, it is for that promotion of non-traditional stars.
Yep, and you and I are actively watching Sheffield United play Wrexham right now in the Carabao Cup. And I think like this is kind of the same thing, the Vancouver Forward text line. I'm a fan of the NBA in-season tournament because it resembles Premier League FA Cup. And yes, that's what they're going for. And obviously you don't have the cross-league competition or the cross-division, you know,
but
levels.
But that was something they talked about at the Olympics, that FIBA and the NBA are starting to have those conversations about, do we have this crossover?
League kind of
where thing. And that's the cool thing about like the FA Cup or the US Open Cup that we have here in soccer, where every level of soccer in the United States you can play your way up from. Hell, there was like a rec league team that ended up playing the Portland Timbers 1 year, right? Like you can work your way up. If you win those games,
there you go,
you can work your way up. If that is a thing, that's where you'll start going, all right, this is a little bit cool, and this is a little bit more fun. The in-season tournament for the NBA, they tried to make us care about it like it was some sort of championship this year. They forced the Lakers to raise a banner, for God's sakes.
Yeah, they were not thrilled about that.
You shouldn't be doing that, but if you want to focus on it as a promotion of the young talent and a reason why players will play a little bit harder, financial reasons, then, yeah, give us some of that, because there were more intriguing games during the regular season than we've had before.
Yes.
And players did care a little bit more than they did before.
And there's also the extra juice of the point difference actually mattering. And so you had some shenanigans at end of games. Instead of like running the clock out, like teams were still trying to score. We saw that in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Teams got a little salty about that. And I'm like, good. Yes, good. Let the hate row through you. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So the Blazers will play four games from November 12th through December 3rd. November 12th against Minnesota, the 22nd against Houston, 29th against Sacramento, and the 3rd against the Clippers. And obviously the winner of the pool plays moves on.
Boy, I would imagine those are good teams that they're
going to Yeah, the worst team they're going to play in there is probably Houston, and they're probably going to make a
playoff
little run there.
They're going to make a run for the 8 seed this year.
Yeah.
Or a play-in seed.
The other groups in here are Oklahoma City, Phoenix, San Antonio, L.A., Lakers, and Jazz. And then the Nuggets, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Mavs, and Warriors. Notice how when I rattled that off, it was like, wow, all three of those groups sound really tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the West is a bloodbath.
It is.
And which is why the Blazers will not win many games this year. Like
they didn't win many games last year either.
No, they won 21. The line has gone up to 22.5, and I can't touch that.
You think that's too much?
I don't. Well, no, I think it's perfect.
Yeah,
I think it's a perfect line.
I wouldn't want to touch that.
It's just no, thank you. I'm not going anywhere near that line.
Mm-mm. Well, because one thing that we don't know either is at what point do they actively start shutting guys down again?
I don't think they need to. I mean, well, in the beginning of the season.
No, at the beginning of the season. I said at what point? You're not going to do it in December.
But what I'm saying is, think about this. If they played everyone fully, let's give them perfect health throughout the season, how many wins would they have without shutting anyone down?
I honestly believe, like, they would be somewhere around, like, 27 or 28.
Okay.
I think that's where...
Let's just say 30, just so it's a nice round number.
Yeah, I think that'd be okay.
Okay, so if that's the case, unless they win 30 of their first 50 games, how many games do you really need to shut them down for?
Well,
You know what I'm saying?
At least, five or six.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, they even if they're healthy... Unless they go on an absolute tear in the first 3 months, they're not going to win that many games.
No. They still lack shooters.
And then you just steer into the skid to make sure, because there's going to be 7 or 8 teams that are going to egregiously tank.
Lack depth. And that's going to be the interesting part, is how many teams from the get-go are going to be turning it into the side of the mountain, right?
Yes.
Because with Cooper Flagg on the line, you can look at the NBA and you can say, all right, which teams are going to be in that position to do that? Detroit is going to do it again. Portland's going to do it. Washington.
Utah.
Utah.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Oh, no, Brooklyn's intentionally
doing it. Maybe Charlotte.
They're just going to be bad.
Yeah.
There's seven,
but I think
there's seven teams that are guaranteed.
But you look at that and you say, Charlotte is a team that, they will intentionally do it. Like, they're going to get to the point where they're like, hell, if we're this bad anyways, let's really go down.
And there'll be one or two teams that has injuries. And so there's going to be 7 teams that are absolutely doing it, and there's going to be 2 more teams that go, screw this, we're out.
Where do we sit on Toronto?
They're another team that's going to be bad.
I mean, early do they turn it off? Because they could be one of those sleepers that they just go, yeah, side of the mountain.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty natural. It's like, look, if your core is RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, Scotty Barnes, like,
and Jakob Poeltl.
If you want to say that Scotty Barnes is your building piece,
Grady Dick.
All right,
Grady Dick.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So,
I think the Blazers beat that team.
It depends on
the Blazers beat that
team. They did last year.
Yeah.
So.
That's a bad team.
Yeah,
but they play in the East.
Yeah, and then that's the thing, is like they're going to end up chewing each other up in the East. So
just falling into wins.
I believe we're getting the actual schedule in 2 days. I've seen a version of it. The Blazers have one singular national TV game. And no, I'm not talking about NBA TV. I'm talking about the league partners, TNT, ESPN, NBC will be next year. one national TV game. It's Milwaukee Bucks.
Sweet.
So unless
can't wait for that one.
Unless something has changed, that is the only national TV game they have.
The whole country will be able to see Damian Lillard, coming Giannis just beat the Blazers over the head.
Hey, remember that they won that game here?
They sure did.
It's crazy.
They sure did.
So that's your hot, hot Scoot Henderson schedule said, news.
I didn't know this place got loud.
I didn't know this place could get loud like that. Yeah. Yep, it can, Scoot. It can. That's tough. All right, coming up next, we are in day number three of our trophy, college football rivalry trophy matchup series. We'll go through those next here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.